Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to dig into your word, to be able to study the things that are going to occur during the tribulation time here, to give us the information that we can have the answers when people come up to us and ask us about the prophecies of the last days. There's so many false prophets out there. There's so many things that are going on that try to lead people away from you and try to turn it into just a fable and a story of some sort. Help us to have the information to be able to stand firmly on your word and be able to let folks know that these prophecies will come true. Thank you so much. Be with us as we get into your word, as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. As we said, we've done all the way up to chapter 16 now. And now we're looking at an event taking place. John is seeing a vision of the destruction of, in the first part here in chapter 17, of the destruction of the religious Babylon. Many people have made assumptions on what the religious Babylon actually is, what it compared to, say, religions of today. I've heard many say that it's going to be the Catholic Church. So in saying that, a lot of folks have looked down on the Catholic Church of today. But I cannot say for a certainty that it is the Catholic Church, because it doesn't tell us that in the Scriptures. But the Catholic Church has the foundations that would lean a lot of folks to believe that it will be the Catholic Church of the tribulation time. Because if you look at the term Catholic, it means universal. And that's part of the prophecies, a one world religious system. And the strongest world religion on the planet today is, of course, the Roman Catholic Church. So at the rapture, all those that are Roman Catholic or Catholic or any religion that's out there that have truly given their lives over to Jesus Christ and acknowledge who Jesus Christ is and accepted Him as their Lord and Savior, they will be raptured. But the church system that is left behind, out of all of those, the most dominant one today will most likely be the most dominant one after the rapture and into the tribulation time. So it's very logical that it would be probably the Catholic Church that rises to power and the strongest on the planet at that time as well. But it'll be the Catholic Church existing of all those, or consisting of all those that were lost at the rapture because they've entered into the tribulation period. We have lost folks in every religion that's out there. I should say every Christian religion. Is anything that is not a true Christian religion, they're all lost anyway. But I've heard people say, well, if you're not such and such a denomination, you're going to hell. You've got to be this or this, or you're going to hell. You know, all the rest of them are wrong. We're the only ones who got it right. There isn't any denominations listed in the Scriptures. So I don't see how they can dare say that. The key is that they have given their lives over to Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, there are people that are in different religions that have stepped off of the straight and narrow, that are into a religious action or activity that is not biblical. But sincerely in their heart, they have given their lives over to the Lord. But yet, they're being swayed off the straight and narrow by a false teacher, by an antichrist that is within the church system of whatever religion it may be, whatever denomination it might be. So don't get hung up on denominations. Focus on the fact of the requirements of your salvation, which is that you acknowledge who Jesus Christ is. You accept Jesus Christ, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by Him. Jesus Christ is the only way. So if there's a religion out there, a denomination, a Christian denomination out there that acknowledges Jesus Christ for who He is, there will be people that are in that congregation that are saved, truly born again. If they do not acknowledge who Jesus Christ truly is, it's a total false religion anyway. even if they call themselves Christians, if they don't acknowledge who Jesus Christ truly is. Because there are some major religions out there, so-called Christian religions out there, that proclaim Jesus Christ as a prophet, but not as the Trinity, as the Son of God, as God in flesh, the one who came down to dwell amongst us, the one who spoke everything into existence, the one who's going to judge all mankind, the one that we're going to be continuing to study about here. And this destruction of the religious Babylon is the destruction of that major church system that will exist during the tribulation time, as well as a town, a community, whether it is a specific location like we have taught and studied already about the foundations of old Babylon over there, where they have already discussed and other leaders in the past have wanted to rebuild the old foundations and build Babylon back on its old foundations. Whether that gets built up during the beginning of the tribulation time and that's what gets destroyed. Some of the descriptions in here about the business that's going on in Babylon could not apply to that geographic location. So it's got to be much larger than just a single point or a single city. It's speaking more as a system and naming it Babylon because of all that that brings into the understanding of the evilness of that system. But having said all that, back around here, we'll get right into Revelation chapter 17. Revelation chapter 17 and verse 1, it reads, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns." Now these seven heads would be the seven different leaders, or I should say nations, which would be thought to be Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And the ten horns, of course, are the leaders. Continuing in verse 4, "And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication." Now this fornication is more than just the physical fornication that we understand as being sex outside of marriage. This fornication would be to include even idolatry, include anything ungodly. It could expand so much in here. Verse 5, "And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth." Bragging and proud of being an abomination. Being ungodly and proud of it. Just like we was talking about that TV broadcast. Being ungodly and wanting other people to accept it and being proud of the fact that they are ungodly. And boasting about it. And that's clearly of Satan. Continuing in verse 6. "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." Drunken with the blood of the saints. Those that have been killed. Those that have been martyred. All those that have died living a Christian life, serving the Lord, that have been taken out because of their service to the Lord. In verse 7, "And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel?" It's like he's asking John, why did you admire or marvel at this image of this woman? "I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. Speaking of the Antichrist, of course. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and is yet. Because we know at the midpoint of the tribulation, the beast will be, or I should say the Antichrist, as we commonly know him, but the beast from the earth will be wounded as unto death, as it says in the scriptures. And he will be healed of that. And at that midpoint is when Satan totally indwells in him. That's what it's talking about being was and is not and yet is. In verse 9, and here is the mind which hath wisdom. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are 7 kings. 5 are fallen, and 1 is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. Talking there again about the one that is coming would have been the last one, which is going to be the Antichrist. In verse 11, and the beast that was and is not, even he is the 8th, and is of the 7, and goeth into perdition. Continuing in verse 12, and the 10 horns which thou sawest are 10 kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These will be the 10 that he will put into power during the tribulation period. And it'll be just that short period that they will have their power, because then, well, we won't get ahead of that. They actually turn against him here shortly as we continue. In verse 13, these have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These are the 10 that will rule from Jerusalem and the new temple that will be there. He will rule, the Antichrist will rule, sitting on that throne. That is the abomination of desolation that is spoke of in the book of Daniel. When the Antichrist sets himself up as God and sits in that throne in the new temple in Jerusalem. And he will have these 10 kings that will rule the earth. They will all answer to him. Continuing in verse 14. These shall make war with the Lamb. Their goal, their ambition is to destroy all Christians. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Verse 15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So this is going to be a powerful system that is going to, like I say, expand the entire planet, the whole world, under this one system, ruled by the Antichrist and these 10 kings. Continuing in verse 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore. See, they will turn, these 10 kings will eventually turn against the Antichrist, who is their world leader. They will decide they don't want him as leader no more and turn against him. That's what it's speaking of here, where it says, the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. There'll be a rebellion against the Antichrist. And God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. They will fall under submission to the beast until the right time that God has appointed, and then they will turn against the beast. Verse 18, and the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. Let's get right into verse 18 here, because it flows right into it. In verse 18, verse 1, it reads, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies." So people think that it's just going to be total chaos during the tribulation period, but even during all that judgment, all those earthquakes and hail and water being turned to blood and scorpions and everything, there's still going to be business. And there's still going to be people making a profit. And there's still going to be, as it says, delicacies here. Continuing in verse 4. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." So this is twofold here. My people, those that are called, those that are of the Lord, should not indulge in the delicacies of Satan. All of the little sinful things that people lust for. And during this time, there will be some Christians that will be within this Babylon system. Some of those will actually be workers of the Lord trying to win people over to the Lord. Those need to come out, as it says here, as well as those that might be dabbling in a little bit of sinful activity while they're there as well. Let's read that again. You'll see what I'm saying. "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins." You note there's a comma there. "And that ye receive not of her plagues," that the judgments will not fall upon you as well. So there will be people in there that will be working and don't want to be part of those plagues, because he calls all of his people out, because the judgment is going to be fallen upon Babylon here as Babylon continues to be destroyed after and during that uprise of the kings against the one world ruler there, the Antichrist. Get right into it here in verse 5. Reads, "For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double." Double the judgments will fall upon Babylon for her sinful activities. In verse 7, "How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow." People that waller in their sins, the people that will be a part of this sinful behavior and this sinful system during the tribulation time, enjoy and have no sorrow in their ungodly activities, so they will have twice the punishment come upon them, double, as it says here. You see this in the world today, where people just love their sinful behavior and have no regret, no remorse whatsoever for being ungodly, and love it, and they love it when they can get other people to come in and dwell in those sins as well. Continuing in verse 8, "Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and lived deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning." So this smoke of the burning and these others that are going to bewail her would suggest that there is actually going to be part of a city, a system that will be physically destroyed, and that those that partook in that, similar to like Sodom and Gomorrah, when that city was totally destroyed by fire, come down from God, that huge blast of what they think today was compared to a nuclear event. Babylon will be destroyed, and those that have escaped and looking back at that and have indulged in their sin will mourn the destruction of that ungodly city. Continuing in verse 10, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more." So that big, huge, one world monetary system, that all that merchandise and all that evil money exchanging, and these merchants will mourn because it will physically be destroyed. That city will be destroyed. In verse 12, "The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and of fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and of iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beasts and sheep and horses and chariots and slaves and souls of men and the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all." So talking about an actual physical city with all this kind of ungodly merchandise, as well as what some of it sounds like pretty good stuff, you know, like cinnamon and so forth. But the others, like the souls of men, and it's all going to be destroyed near the end of the 7 year tribulation. Continue to verse 15 here and we'll wrap it up. "The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. For in 1 hour so great riches is come to naught, and every shipmaster and all the company in ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, What city is like unto this great city?'" Verse 19. "And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, 'Alas, alas, that great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness. For in 1 hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her." Talking about the rejoicing of those that were martyred, those that had died in service for the Lord as a result of this evil city, this evil activity, this evil merchandising, this prophet in ungodliness. Continuing in verse 21, "And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, 'Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of the harpers and musicians and the pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee, and the sound of millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee, and the light of the candle shall shine no more at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee, for all merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. The destruction of Babylon, the destruction of that one world monetary system, one world religious system, one world business, one world government system, all totally destroyed near the end of that tribulation period. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this time we've spent studying Your Word. It contains so much that we need to know to be able to have the answers when people ask us questions about the prophecies. Thank You so much for the confidence in letting us know that since all the prophecies of the past up to this point that were prophesied to occur at this time have occurred exactly like You said they would, and we have confidence in knowing that the future ones will occur as well. Thank You so much as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen.